Welcome to another episode here on the Home Tech Talk podcast, where we talk all things tech. My name is Jake, and joining me as always is Aiden.
Hello, how are you all going today? Thanks for joining us.
What's been happening this week?
Same old stuff, buddy. Same old stuff. We had a good good win with Savant System this week, which is exciting.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. All came together pretty well. Nice intercom solution. Bit of an upgrade for a client, which is great. Everyone seems to be happy.
Yeah, nice. So what else was involved in that system?
It was we took out Control 4 to implement a Savant system because of the intercom functionality that's available within the iPad application of Savant. So client really wanted to be able to open their door, their intercom, access their intercom and open their door from their iPads, which is a feature of Savant and not currently offered by Control 4. So, yeah, we made the switch. I mean, the system also included air conditioning control, Daikin and Coolmaster. It has a Dynalight lighting system. We changed the audio, multi-room audio, to work with Savant as opposed to Control 4.
Yeah, nice.
What a bad little system.
Well, there you go.
What's been happening with you? Your news?
Oh, exactly the same for you. Same old stuff. Just doing some jobs here and there, keeping the bills paid, and not much else really, to be honest. Just quoting and
Still seeing an abnormal amount of service call requests.
Yeah, a bit. Definitely a few service calls coming in for sure.
I think it's just the nature of more people being at home currently and using, you know, trying to work and having more of their, you know, more interaction with their technology platforms within their home just due to the fact that they're at home more.
Yeah, definitely. The systems are getting more use these days for sure.
Yeah. I've seen a little increase in people looking at their entertainment systems, so wanting to either do a cinema, upgrade a cinema, get the cinema working again. So that's always exciting for me, given that's primarily my favorite part of what we do.
Yeah,
so definitely. That's good.
Yeah, nice.
I also saw some news that some US cinema chain has closed down like 500 cinemas,
wow.
Commercial cinemas. So that's probably not great news.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know a lot of bigger companies now, like especially Disney, have just sort of skipped the cinemas altogether and just releasing it straight to Disney Plus. So
yeah, well, that was what I was saying in the article that I read about these cinemas shutting down was the fact that A, people weren't going because there was the whole COVID situation,
yeah.
And then the other part of it being that there had been no movies released, so there was actually nothing to even show because there was no new releases coming out. And that doesn't look like that's going to change, you know. I mean, there might be a couple, but not like it used to be on the regular rotation of new releases.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely had a huge impact there, but good for home cinemas, I guess.
Yeah. You can now enjoy it on demand at home with the pause button.
With the pause button, there you go. Get your snacks whenever you want.
That's it. All right, what are we covering today?
Well, on this episode, we'll be talking about the steps to create a successful smart home, whether you choose a DIY route or a professionally installed system.
Well, you're the DIY guy, so maybe we run with that first. I'm not really that up to speed with all things that are DIY. So give me the drill on how you successfully implement a DIY system.
Well, I guess there's a few things you would be looking into, and mainly these DIY devices would work wirelessly, and that's the main sort of use case scenario. And I guess every core part of a smart home would be the network infrastructure. And if you're doing a DIY system or a professionally installed system, you definitely want to look into your networking and sort of enhancing that experience. And sort of just a use case scenario example is that if you did have a, say, a video doorbell at your front door and your ISP modem was somewhere way back inside the house and your Wi-Fi didn't quite reach the front door, you would have quite a bad experience with the video and also the audio sort of dropping in and out. So talking about networking, and that's sort of the main step, the first step you would look into is enhancing that experience, whether it be by buying some off-the-shelf Wi-Fi boosters or wireless access points to help extend that network and also give better, not just better coverage, but better signal and getting more sort of fast internet to that device. And a lot of these devices do connect to a cloud, so they do need internet access. So it's not just local network they would need, it's also cloud access as well. So looking into the networking, it's definitely an important factor into a DIY or a professionally installed system.
Yeah, it definitely all starts with the network. I mean, we've kind of gone over it quite a few times here on various episodes of the podcast, but it's definitely a key part of your infrastructure. If you don't have a good quality network, nothing you do, you can use the best product on the planet, but it's not going to work very well if it doesn't have a good network to run on. So it's definitely the most critical part of core infrastructure that any system, whether it be DIY or pro, have available. So the other thing that I think is really important, even when considering a DIY system, is having a really clear understanding of the objective of, you know, what you're actually looking to do. I mean, if you're just going to muck around and have a play, then great. But if you're actually looking for a solution to something, clearly identify what a successful outcome looks like, and then that the product that you're looking at actually is capable of providing it. We call that in the professional market a scope of works, or, you know, a clear concept of design. So you definitely want to do that. Even if you're looking at a DIY platform, you want to make sure that if you need access control, that you get a way of implementing access control as part of your intercom solution. You know, don't just get an intercom solution if there is one that has no capability of interacting with a door lock of some way to implement access control. So it's good to think through the scenario start to finish at the outset before you start trying to play catch up and get things that, you know, workarounds and whatnot to get where you want to be. It's definitely best to take aim at that from the outset.
Yeah, and that also incorporates sort of researching and understanding the devices that you are looking to put in your house. And sort of, I do this all the time and constantly YouTubing videos on reviews of different devices. And it is a bit hard because reviews can be somewhat skewed based on the person's understanding of the product and if they did grasp it completely. And I have watched some reviews that, just were bad about the product, but it was mainly the user that didn't quite understand the use case or the capabilities of the device. And that's one thing that we sort of talk about is education, and education being in all forms, from, you know, YouTubes or you know, podcasting. And we also hope to add some education to anybody really that's looking into smart homes. And that's one of the main reasons why we both started this podcast, is to educate.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely be careful of some of those user reviews online. Sometimes they don't necessarily accurately portray the benefits of the product. If somebody has a bad Wi-Fi system and they put their doorbell out and it doesn't work very well, it's not necessarily reflective of the doorbell. It's more a case of, you know, the actual implementation. So just be conscious of that when looking at reviews. Same deal happens in the pro space, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Probably happens more so in the pro space, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, like we have scenarios where people will come and we'll do a design, not necessarily a design, but a proposal. And then they'll have their electrician who will convince them that they're capable of, you know, implementing this same proposal, having never have done it before, and attempt to implement the proposal, only to come to the learning experience that we've all already sort of been through over the last decade or so, trying to understand how to avoid the pitfalls of technology, you know. So you definitely just, you can see it happening, whether it be anyone that's new to something, the first time you do it, it's definitely harder than somebody who's done it, you know, many times before. Hence the professional.
Yeah, you definitely learn a lot of things along the way, and that's something to keep in mind also. But another point for the DIY, and this also is the same for professionally installed systems as well, is documentation. And documentation comes in forms of, you know, writing passwords down or networking IP addresses down. If you've got a table of known addresses, that is definitely something to keep in mind. And you can definitely sort of enhance the experience if you have things written down and you don't need to factory reset things if you have forgotten the password. And also talking a bit about security as well, and that's also something to keep in mind, is changing default passwords and making sure that you are sort of adding that level of security for your own benefit and to protect yourself. And documentation is definitely a key factor in finding out, you know, those passwords and making sure you've got everything sort of documented.
Yeah, very critical. Knowing the passwords is very important, and also changing the default passwords, especially on DIY products, especially if they're cloud connected. So, yeah, right on there, Jake.
We have seen instances where people have got into cameras from that default password scenario.
And I think I mentioned it too when we discussed access control, walking up and just using default admin password or admin code to get straight into the menu system and change user codes. It's very important to keep that, A, documented, and B, not factory default. So good advice, Jake.
For sure, for sure. All right, do we want to sort of step on to the professionally installed systems?
Yeah. So from my perspective, the professional system sort of all starts with a design meeting, but more importantly, once you've gotten through that you're working together and that you know what you're trying to achieve, is that it's actually clearly documented. So there are always other parties that work in bringing a smart home system together, whether that be the electrical contractor or the builder to, you know, implement certain facets of the building that accommodate the smart home technology. So it's really important to have documentation. So documentation consists of, you know, if it's a lighting system, lighting circuits, numbers, whether they're dimming, whether they just turn on, turn off relays, however that is, it's critical to have that documented very accurately. That's probably the biggest thing to have taken care of at the outset. And then you basically, once it's actually implementation time, we get back to the same sort of things that we went through in the DIY space. You know, the network, if it's a large system, you need to have a really robust network that's capable of handling a lot of devices, communicating at high speed. So basically that's kind of the, as far as my experience, that's kind of the most important part of the system, is the documentation, the consultation to understand what everyone's trying to achieve, make sure that all of the parties are being heard and understood, and you've got documentation to back it all up and bring it all together.
Yeah, and that's something to mention also, is that some of these systems that we would typically do in the professionally installed realm, there would also be, as you were mentioning before, other parties involved in the conversation. And another party to sort of mention is designers or architects, and they typically have a role in designing the whole aspect of the house. And a lot of architects these days are becoming more tech savvy in what is involved in a house, and sort of educating themselves in what really needs to go into a house of that stature.
Yep, definitely. They do all the aesthetic elements as well, whether that be, you know, in discrete speakers in ceilings or in walls, and joinery designs, and making sure that there's adequate ventilation in joinery, and adequate space allocation for the equipment to be housed. There's definitely lots of people being required to get on the same page to bring these things together successfully. I mean, we've probably both seen some horror stories regarding some of those, you know, parts of the system.
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen a system be installed into a very humid environment anyway, up in the north of Queensland, and it was actually installed, an entire automation system installed in an internal laundry of a penthouse that had no ventilation at all, like not a window, nothing. And it was, you know, it was in Townsville, so it's super humid in summer anyway. And then on top of that, it's in the middle of a laundry, and the thing just did not work. Like, it was literally overheating continuously. So they're definitely key features to avoid.
Yeah, not surprising there.
No, not at all.
So the next step after the sort of scope of works is figured out and discussed, and that would be the proposal or quotation part of the system. And that's sort of typically where the integrator would come together and put all those elements into some sort of documentation with the price involved. And that's something that would be discussed later on, and once all parties sort of agree to the quotation and hopefully it reaches the acceptance stage, then obviously you would move along to the next step. And the next step would obviously be over time, because builds obviously take time. So it would stretch over the build time, and obviously along the way things would happen. So various installation parts would happen along the way. So whether it be, you know, touchscreen back boxes, or sort of obviously also the cabling infrastructure would be a part of the backbone as well. So whether the electrician is doing the cabling or the low voltage cabling or the integrator varies on site.
Yeah. So they're the basic couple of quick phases that the project or the life of the system will go through. Is the design phase, where it's sort of in the initial outset where you're conceiving all the parts of the system and, you know, how they're going to be. In terms of pricing, I mean, there's kind of like a massive range of pricing. People often don't consider the budget, and they think that they're going to be told the budget by the integrator. But we can do, you know, systems that are very, very, very high variance of price points. There's a huge difference between whether that be networking or audio or, you know, home theater or even security systems and cameras and camera recorders. We've sort of touched on this in a few other episodes, but there is an enormous price variance based on different product sets. So it's really important for the client to have a clear idea of what key features are of most importance to them and prioritize the budget in those locations. It's kind of the way to ensure that you get your best outcome based on what you're expecting. So that'll be the initial phase, being design and conception, and then you'll go through the construction phase. And during the construction phase, sort of thing that makes projects run more successfully is really, really clean and clear communication between those parties that we discuss, whether that be the interior designer, the architect, the builder, the electrical contractor, and your integrator. Just everyone staying sort of clear on who's responsible for what, who's taking care of what, and where we're all up to. And then we get into the sort of delivery phase, where you sort of see your integrator actually on site doing, well, in terms of our projects, this is how we usually operate. We're not really there very much during the construction phase, and we sort of turn up at the end for the installation portion of the project. And at that time, I guess the most important thing, especially during this current time that we're in, is having equipment ordered ahead of it being required on site. There seems to be quite an extensive issue getting all the equipment to site. I mean, I know I'm having a lot of trouble just getting everything together at the right time at the moment because of delivery times blowing out, manufacturing facilities being closed. There's a whole host of issues. I think I've probably complained about it previously. But that's kind of a really important part of bringing the project to completion on time and on budget. is, yeah, making sure that you get the things together at the installation phase accurately in terms of timing.
Yeah, and that's sort of talking about the preparation for installation, and that's sort of involving, you know, ordering products as you were mentioning there, and also just getting a clear picture from the integrator's point of view of what's going to be done once we are on site, and then sort of keeping that clear communication line and making sure that we come in at the right stage is definitely a key for a successful smart home. And sort of, yeah, making sure all the systems get put together correctly. And typically a lot of the stuff that we would do would happen at the end stage. And a lot of the building would sort of be already built, and a lot of the stuff would be ready for us to sort of come in at the end. And that's also talking about something that is very important in both DIY and professionally installed systems. And again, that's documentation.
Yeah.
So having a clear line of communication with the people on site, and also having a clear outset of documentation, whether that be plans or cable schedules, schematics, all that sort of stuff. And if you do go down the professionally installed system route, that would be something that the integrator would hopefully provide and keep everybody sort of aware of what's going where, what's happening, and sort of from A to B, the, you know, connection route basically.
Yeah. And then it basically pulls together the final phase, which is the handover phase. And again, this is sort of it goes back to documentation again. It's kind of like completion documents with the user, the passwords and the addressing system and everything else that's sort of been actually implemented with the equipment on site. So that should anything happen in the future, you've got a clear way of understanding what you did, because you will not remember. Well, I mean, once, you know, if you're an integrator, you've however many systems you've got out there with how many passwords and things, there's passwords. You know, we've got systems with documentation for passwords that's, you know, 40, 50 lines long, because there's so many devices that have different passwords, and, you know, they each have their own parameters with which you can, you know, have to have so many characters and whatever else. So it's really important to have that handover to, or sort of completion document, even if it's just for your own sanity when you have to service your own system, that you've got access to it, but the client should ultimately be asking for it, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. And that obviously helps them in the long run, and also gets the integrator out of trouble. And obviously whether the integrator does sort of keep the system serviced, or if it does get handed over to another integrator, having a clear documentation would help everybody involved, I guess.
Yeah. And like user manuals for the client. I mean, we've got a lot of clients that want to, I mean, everyone now is getting more comfortable with technology. So there is a certain element of, you know, people wanting to be able to, you know, either it's just PowerPoints labeled and things like that, so they can just turn things on and off, because we're kidding ourselves if that's not the first thing that we do when it comes to an issue on site is we turn it off and we turn it back on, and 90% of the time it fixes the problem. So, I mean, clients are getting quite comfortable with that. Some of them a little bit too comfortable, and I get some clients turning certain things on and off 6 times a day, which is probably not the right thing to be doing. But, you know, as long as they understand what's happening in terms of which PowerPoints control which things, or PDUs or whatever that switch on and off certain devices, then, you know, the user should have the ability, should they want to be involved, to have a, you know, sort of somewhat clear understanding of what's where.
Yeah, definitely. And training is also part of the handover stage as well. So really educating the client as to the systems that they have in their house, and also seeing the steps they can take themselves to better the system, or to get the system back up and running if it did fall over. But another step, obviously, in the handover stage would be sort of not, this is more past the handover stage, and that's supporting the system. So integrators would typically offer support for the system and help the client out if they did need any things looked at. And a lot of these things these days can be looked at remotely, and that's something that sort of benefits integrators and, I guess, clients as well, is that technology is becoming more smarter, and having sort of active support in the product themselves, you know, reboots and all that sort of stuff can happen remotely. And yeah, it just really helps the system run smoothly. And you can typically in some of the systems we do, you can schedule reboots and stuff like that. So keeping the system healthy.
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, we do an aftercare service for our systems, and there's definitely, there's different sort of offerings in that, whether we're coming out and doing firmware upgrades a couple of times a year and just checking on, you know, making sure everything's sort of happy and working together. But you're right, there are active monitoring systems, you know, part of the networking platform or whatever else that just give you the ability to check that if there is an issue, they give you a notification or whatever, and you know, you can see things that are offline or online and restart. It's definitely much easier to add that remote access and serviceability of these systems in their current, you know, state of affairs. They're really, really good at that now.
Yeah, definitely. Any other tips and tricks you can add to this segment, Aidan?
I guess from the integrator's point of view, I mean, paying progress payments on time always helps with the ordering side of things. If progress payments are being made in a timely fashion, that helps to keep things moving at the appropriate, you know, progress points. Definitely helps. So progress payments are a great way to keep things moving.
Yeah, and that's all part of the preparation as well, as we were mentioning before, and sort of making sure everything is running accordingly to schedule is definitely helpful there.
Yeah, so, I mean, if anyone has any questions regarding this stuff, I mean, we'd happily assist, whether it's another integrator with documentation suggestions or, you know, any issues that they sort of see themselves coming up against on a regular basis, or, you know, anyone that wants design work done or whatever. But Jake and myself have the ability to sort of advise with regards to that. So
for sure. So I guess we definitely would like everybody to reach out if you do have any questions about professionally installed systems or DIY systems. We can both help out there. And obviously we are both located in Sydney. So if you did need a professionally installed system, please feel free to reach out to us at hello@hometechtalk.com.au, where we both can help you out there. And also, if you aren't from Sydney and you did want to have a professionally installed system, we can help out there as well. We definitely have contacts as well around.
Yeah, so I've worked with quite a few people in different states and things like that. So been in the industry a long time, know many people in many places. So it's a good little community of people. So if anyone is around having trouble, there's usually somebody that I would happily recommend in most sort of capital cities of Australia. Internationally, I don't necessarily know that many people, but, you know, I'm sure you can figure it out. There's people out there that are good. And we can, if anyone has a question as to how, I guess that's probably another topic, is how you identify a good integrator. And I think one of the things that we probably should have touched on in this episode was referrals. If you are sort of getting into this and you don't have referrals from your architect or your builder, I would suggest that if you do come in contact with an integrator, that you would ask them if they could give you a referral from a project that they've completed previously, and make sure that, you know, they've got a few happy clients out there that are happy to suggest that you do proceed with them, because you definitely don't want to be one of the horror stories. So at least get a referral from each of your, you know, potential integrators.
Yeah, that's definitely something to keep in mind. All right, well, I think that wraps up this episode on the Home Tech Talk podcast, and we'll be taking a short break as I've just had my second child, so we'll be taking a short break, but our episodes will still remain, so feel free to listen to any of them and leave us a review if you did have any feedback. And also, if you do have any questions, you can also send them to hello@hometechtalk.com.au, and you can reach us at social media at Home Tech Talk, and subscribe to keep up to date. So when we do resume, you can keep up to date. All right, we'll catch you guys a bit later.
Thanks, guys.